Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the word that changes us, Lord, the living word. We thank you for the word's presence in our lives. Jesus, you are that living word. Now, Lord, we want to be changed. We want to be new and fresh today, Lord, by the washing of the water of the word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we've come today and we've asked, and now we receive that which we've asked, Lord, that you would minister. Father, minister through me. I yield myself to you, your servant. It's your word, Lord. Use me to speak your word as your oracle. And you get all glory and honor to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This morning, as the fellows were standing up there, standing in the back there and praying, something rose up in my heart. And we call this the house of God. And we came into this and discussion of just what is the house of God? Well, we are the building blocks. The temple of the Holy Spirit, of course, is in us. Then another thing came up, and I thought, well, I was thinking about Jesus being our brother, as we just sang that just now. Jesus is our brother. Okay. If he's our brother, and as Bill Franz said, he says, well, if he's our brother, he says, I guess we're Jewish. I thought, yeah. And then that gave me another thought. It's amazing how thought process builds, right? And you go a little further. And I've been witnessing to somebody that is a Christian, says is a Christian, but hates Jews. Just hates them. Blacks, Jews. And I thought, now how can you be a Christian? Do you hate? Then you must hate me because I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. Just think about this. And how it goes down through the line of thought. Where do you end? Where do you stop? Where does this hatred end? And then our government tells us that we have to be tolerant. Well, of what? It depends on who they want to be tolerant to. And then what do? We have to be tolerant of everybody. Color, race, creed. It doesn't matter. We still have to show that love to other people. How do you show that love? Through the brother, a Jew named Jesus. How else can you do it? There is no other way. Think of these things. It is very... It really reaches down inside your spirit. And then it starts to really eat in you. And they say, well, wait a minute now. Where do I stand? Where do I stand with all this? Where do I stand with some of the things that the government wants us to do? And some of the things that they're saying about us? Christians are going to be hated. It's coming. Be ready for it. Because we know where the end lies. We know where the victory is. It's in Jesus. Amen.
There's no gonna be. We are hated. You know why? Because men love darkness rather than light. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I got a song rolling around in my spirit that I remember from years ago. And I'm telling you, it's exploding inside of me because God is all over me this morning. The Spirit of God. Hey. The song is, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Yeah. Has anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Woo! It's the Holy Ghost and fire and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, it's keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have been, as probably all of you know, there's been breakthroughs. Last week was the beginning. But through frustration and anxiety, I'm just tattling on myself. Just bear with me. And being in the Lord's face, I want to tell you something. I am free. Hallelujah. And whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. And you know, it's amazing to me as I began to meditate on the Word and began to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and my Father began to speak to me, our Father began to speak to me, the reason why I was struggling so hard. One of the things that I have had a problem with my whole life is being a perfectionist. Now, I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be. I had a certain hanger and a certain order in my closet, in my drawer, and if it wasn't that way, I couldn't stand it. Now, I never put pressure on anybody else. The pressure was on me. But the point is, in trying to do things in a decent and orderly manner, I got out of control. And it began to bring pressure on me. You understand what I'm saying? Not only that, what I didn't know was bringing pressure on others too. You hear me? Bringing pressure on others. Now you say, well, how can it bring pressure on others? Well, you know what? Bless my darling, poor departed wife's heart. She did a wonderful job of cleaning and taking care of everything and washing, and she did a great job. But what I didn't realize, because I was so dumb, is that by my going and rearranging everything, she was thinking without being able, but she didn't come and tell me, you know what? Am I doing something wrong? Are you not pleased with what I'm doing? And that was not the case at all. That was not the case at all. She did a great job. But it was my perfectionist mentality. You know? Now, when I say I've come a long way, the other extreme is just being an absolute slob. You know what? How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I want to say some things to you this morning. I want you to consider some things. One of the things the Scripture says is consider your ways. How many know that it's easy to get bogged down in law? Yes. Got to do it a certain way. Got to do it at a certain time. Got to do it for a certain time. I got to do it, all these things. And you can get bogged down and get yourself stuck in a rut and in the muck and mire to where it begins to tear you down. Do you know what I'm saying? I thought God delivered us and brought us into the perfect law of liberty. Amen? He talks about that perfect law of liberty. And what that does is that can cause you to have low self-esteem in God's eyes. I'm not doing it right. You know what I'm saying? And that can get you bogged down. That can bring heaviness and bondage to your life. And that's not what God's about. We're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And we're going to look at His Word. If I was to put a title on the message this morning, I would say, Return to the Joy of Your Salvation. It's a joy to serve God. It's not a drudgery. Can I tell you something? It's a joy to stand up here and minister the Word as God gives it to me, to seek God every week, to get a Word for you and for me. You realize it's not just for you. It starts right here. Amen? Now don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good here. Become a participant in this. Amen? It's very easy to think, well, I got to do it a certain way, or if I don't do it a certain way, and you know what? Tie it outside. You'll be entangled in a yoke of bondage again, and we don't need that, amen? We've been delivered from that. Have you been delivered? From what? Think about it. Think about in your own life what you've been delivered from. I remember the day that I said, Jesus, come into my life. Actually, what happened is when I was a young child at the YMCA downtown, when it was safe for young kids to ride the buses and, you know, be downtown, I won't tell you how many years ago. You'll have to guess. But I went down there, and one day they were having a meeting as I was getting ready to leave. And I went in and sat down, and they were talking about Jesus. Now, my mom was a Christian her whole life, but I didn't know anything about the Lord. She had gone to the Presbyterian Church. She knew about God. I think she knew God to some degree. But the point is, I didn't know about Him. And yet, as I began to hear and listen, I knew inside of me that I had always known that God was there. I can't explain that to you. I can tell you only what they say sometimes. It's an old cliche, but it's the truth. There's a God-shaped hole in your life, and only God can fill it. There's a knowing inside your heart, your spirit, your soul nature that God is there. What I didn't know is how desperately He wanted fellowship with you and I. Amen? Fellowship with you and I. And yesterday, last night, through all this heaviness and everything, I mean, all of a sudden, a joy rose up in my spirit, in my heart. A feeling of freedom that I can't. It's been a long time since I've felt this. Maybe I've never felt this feeling of freedom before. Just all things being equal and being honest, just brutally honest, I don't know that I've ever been this free before. It's not because I didn't know the salvation and not because I didn't have joy, but I was too tied up in the working of it. Working out your salvation doesn't mean that you got to work at it. I remember thoughts that I had years ago as a young Christian. I give up, Lord. I can't get good enough for you to come into my life. I'm going to go to hell anyway, so I just give up. Forget it. And I remember the sweet Spirit of God beginning to speak in my heart, and He said, Bill, I didn't send my son, or I didn't come I didn't say I'd come when you get good. Invite me in, and I'll clean you up and make you good from the inside out. We need the Lord. Amen? We need Him more. More today than yesterday, like we sang. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need the Lord. And it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's pearls of wisdom. It's insight that bring joy to your life and freedom, not bondage. You know, so many people are out there saying, well, you got to do it this way or you're wrong. Well, tie that outside too. What I would ask is, who appointed you judge and jury and executioner? Amen? Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 51. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. I'm going to expose a few little tidbits from that, and then we're going to go on. This is not a long message, but I believe by the time we're done, if you'll receive it, you will... Okay, Holy Spirit, say with me, Lord, I receive Your Word with joy, and I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be set free this day, and whom the Lord has set free will be free indeed. So I'm free right now in Jesus' name forevermore. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, please, if you will. We'll read Psalm 51 in honor of God's Word, and then you may be seated. Psalm 51, 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God. You know, just for a second, bear with me. How many remember the day you got saved? That joy, that excitement, that exuberance, because you felt the weight of sin and an ugly life lift off of you. You knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that you were loved. Loved unquestioningly. Unreservingly. Amen? A love that can't fail. Amen? Not based on your actions, but based on a commitment of your Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit to love you and be with you forever. If you'll make that decision. Amen? Whew. Hallelujah. We need to return to that kind of thinking. Amen? We need to be free so that we can minister freedom and life. How are you going to minister freedom and life to others if you're going around like you got a ball and chain on your foot? I do that pretty well since my knees, the enemy tried to damage my knee, but anyway, praise the Lord. Let's read this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, not based on the opinions or thoughts of others or yourself, but His. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Listen, people, here it is right here. You've heard me say this. Here it is right in here, black and white. Verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Who's wisdom? What is wisdom? It's Jesus. Amen? It's the living Word. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Verse 5, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth. Okay, we read that. Purge me with hyssop, verse 7, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. We receive it, but it's His salvation. It's the plan of God, carried out by a willing and obedient Son that saved us. Amen? Obedient even unto death. And uphold me by your generous, generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors in your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you who do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say about that last verse. The only thing God wants from you is you. As we started this morning, I talked about the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's a sacrifice, but we give that sacrifice. And what happens is because we step out, God meets us. How many times in the Word have we seen that? Amen? We sang about the boat of God. They were out in the miserable storm, thinking they were going to die. And all of a sudden, Jesus. I mean, he didn't just all of a sudden come on the scene. He was in the boat, asleep. He had peace. And they cried out, and Jesus told the storm, Peace be still. He wants you. That's why He's done everything He can to preserve you, to heal you, to give you longevity, and everything that you need for those things to flourish in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. I looked up the word joy in the Webster Dictionary. Joy is the emotion evoked by well-being. Success. How many know in God you can't fail? Because He can't fail. Amen? The only way you fail is if you try to do it on your own. Or you get your eyes on you instead of Him. It's good fortune or by the prospect of possessing. Possessing what? Salvation. Knowing that you've been delivered from something to something. You've been saved from something to something. Saved from what? Sin and ugliness and death and destruction. To joy, peace, light, hope, praise, worship, prosperity, mental stability. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. What one desires or delight. Joy is delight, not delight. Delight. The expression or exhibition of such. And in the concordance in the Brown Driver's Briggs dictionary, it's gladness, joy, exultation, and rejoicing. While, in fact, in the dictionary, it says the expression or exhibition of such emotion. I don't know if I said that or not. In part two of that, a state of happiness or felicity. And that just means happiness. Now I understand why people name their daughters Felicity. Amen? Praise the Lord. Or bliss. Just means bliss. When you got saved, didn't you feel a state of bliss? Weren't you walking in a state of bliss? We need to remind ourselves of what it was about. You know, you get caught up in all this nonsense and all this legal stuff, this law stuff. The Bible says the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Bible says the law is a killer. Amen? But we're not under the law. We're under grace and mercy. And that means the things that God held people accountable before Jesus came has been covered by the blood. So your transgressions, past, present, and future, are gone. Amen? All you got to do is keep your eyes on Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. A source or cause of delight. Your salvation, when it says your salvation, and this is all in verse 12, folks. Let me just read that again. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. That word salvation there means deliverance, salvation, rescue, safety, welfare, prosperity, and victory. Have you got the victory today? Amen? If you don't, by the time you leave, you will. I'm prophesying over you and me both. Amen? Uphold me means to support, sustain, refresh, and revive. If you're listening to this carefully, listen to the Holy Spirit, because He's telling you and showing you through these words the love of God and what God has actually done for you from the moment you said, Lord, come into my life. Whew. He wants you to come back to your first love. Amen? Your first love. You remember when you know, my goodness, when I met the Lord, I wanted to shout from the housetops. I did, in fact. I was laying in my bed, windows open. I wanted the whole world to know. You know? I was young and dumb, but the point is that something happened in me. Amen? I was not the same young man that I was. No, I was never in all that nonsense of drugs and all that stuff. Praise God. But that doesn't, man, I'm telling you, that doesn't make any less anybody else's salvation or make mine any less than anybody else's. I was still a sinner. Just because I didn't get involved in some of that stuff doesn't mean that I didn't do wrong and that I didn't need the Lord. Amen? People need the Lord. Uphold me means support, sustain, refresh, and revive. Isn't that what He did when He saved you, when you received Him? Didn't you feel sustained, refreshed, revived? Didn't you feel support from God? And that word free in verse 12, in the New King James, it's generous. But it's free means inclined, willing, and noble, or generous and noble. Free. God was inclined and willing and generous with His salvation. Amen? He tells us, no good thing will I withhold from you. He's given His very best. Amen? Oh, y'all ought to start being excited about now. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then He said to them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't have joy if you're burdened down, if you're struggling, amen, if you're worried about, well, I didn't do it just exactly the right way, or maybe something frustrated you this week and, you know, once again, you know, maybe you hammered your thumb with a hammer and said something you shouldn't. Man, the wonderful good news is all you got to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. Amen? Help me put a guard on my mouth. Amen? And then, remember, the more you put the word in, the more that stuff goes out. Because it can't stay in the same place. Just the same as when you pour water into a cup. You keep pouring water into the cup, and if the cup's all full of nastiness and dirt, after a while, that cup's going to be flowing with clean water. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Deborah said to me, she said, I think God wants to get somebody saved or is dealing with salvation this morning. I got the biggest smile. I thought, thank you, Lord, for confirming your word this morning. Amen? I know I heard from God. Okay, the word joy in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy or gladness of the Lord is your strength. So it's joy or gladness. Strength is a place or means of safety, protection, refuge, or a stronghold. Amen? Now when I read that, what I see is, how many remember the old German bunkers that they had? Normandy? This is before my time, so. But and you know, some of the Japanese bunkers that they had, man, I'm telling you, you could hit that thing with just about anything. And those guys were just sitting in there. They were having a heyday because they couldn't be touched. Rifle fire, grenades and stuff. Wasn't until the grenade got inside, you know. But you've got a place of refuge in God. Amen? Outside are all these laws and all these people who've got ideas of how you should live, the way you should live. I don't need their advice. I need His advice, and it's all right here. Amen? Besides that, most of them have messed it up. Oh, you missed a good place to say amen. It's a place of safety, fastness, harbor, once again, a stronghold, a refuge, and it means human protection. That's what strength means, human protection. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. I'm amazed at how easy it is, after all the years that I've known the Lord, to get entangled again with that yoke of bondage. I don't ever want to go there again. Never. Never. It took my mind being renewed by the Word and the Spirit of God, reminding me exactly what He did, reminding me of the joy that I had when I first got saved. It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't a misery. It was, well, Deborah would say, Yahoo! Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. He made us dead to sin, just as He Himself. Verse 1, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now what does that mean? When you receive the Lord, what you have done is you have become a new species or being that never before existed, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I get to say it so fast that I get tongue-tied here. You're a new species or being. That old person was done away with once and for all. And the thing that separated you from God was taken away once and for all. Now that doesn't mean you can't go too far. But God's the judge of that, not you and I. Amen? Praise the Lord. Continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? I remember when we did Daylene's baptism. What a joy. What a joy. And I remember speaking those words. It's identifying with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, you make the decision that you're going to be baptized. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has only to do with the fact that you're saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Amen? It's the power of God to salvation. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you decide that, and then you go in that water, as you go down in that water, it's like you're being buried. You're dead. You're the old person is... And not only that, the water represents cleansing. Amen? Cleansing. You go down in that water, and all the filthiness and the muck and the guck comes off. And you're buried. And that old person passes away. It's an outward action of an inward work. Amen? Based on a decision of the heart. And when you come out of that water, you've been resurrected in newness of life. Symbolically. It's a decision to acknowledge and to identify with what Jesus did. Amen? Whew. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together, listen carefully, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen? knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. Say, the body of sin has been done away with. Amen. With that, been done away with, that we should no longer be, what? Slaves of sin. Now, what I was experiencing wasn't sin that I was enslaved to. It was the law. Law that I put on myself because of my past. And I'm a new creature, a new creation in Christ. But I let that stuff come on me. Amen? For he who has died has been what? Freed from sin. Say, I'm freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. The death issue has been done away with once and for all. You missed another good place to shout. Death no longer has dominion over him. And you can say, has dominion over me. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. See yourselves. Reckon yourselves. Y'all remember that from the old cowboy movies? Well, I reckon. We're going to see a day of reckoning, but right now we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. To be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That sin doesn't necessarily just mean deeds. It could mean thoughts. And sin, and this kind of sin we're talking about, is not the sin unto death. In other words, rejecting Jesus. It's the sin of disobedience. Okay? What do I mean by disobedience? The way I was thinking was in disobedience to the Word. I'm supposed to reckon myself dead to that nonsense. I'm supposed to be free. Free in Christ. I'm supposed to be living in joy. And yet heaviness was, really on me. There was a cloud. You all know, you probably saw it. But it's not there anymore. Glory to God. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let it have place in you. The Bible says neither give place to the devil or the devil's thoughts. Did you know that that could just basically mean a thought that he plants? That we're so willing to accept. Number one, because we can't forgive ourselves. Or because we've got some stinking nonsense stuck in our brain that we've gone too far. Well, if that's the case, why are you wasting your time here? Why am I wasting my time here if that's the case, if I've gone too far? Now, I could tell you some stories where I believe I have gone too far. And yet God's mercy and grace and His anointing is still there. What do I mean by His anointing? Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, that dwells in me and dwells in you. Amen? Ha-ha. Glory to God. That you should obey it in your lust. Therefore, do not let sin, in verse 12, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Did you see that? It said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. We just read that he died once for all. Once and for all. When he died on that cross, did he not say just before he gave up the ghost, it is finished? It's a done deal. There's nothing more to be said. There's nothing more to be done. Amen? Whew. That's what cranked me up when I got saved. Man, I've been set free from all that crud, from the stinking, filthy feelings that I had. You know, that I was disgusting, that I was no good, that I was, you know, no matter what I did, I messed up and I did the wrong things and I hurt people and I could go on and on. You know what I'm talking about. Being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. In the Old Testament, they were under law. There were things they had to do for God to be pleased with them. And it usually was done by the priest. Okay? Not always. There were some cases where it was done by individuals, but it was usually done by the priest. Amen? But it's done. It's finished. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 2, 1 through 10. Key verses are verses 2 and 3. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Did you catch that? For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What that means is not only just not receiving it, but neglecting the thoughts and understanding of what God did through Jesus. He brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. How many remember the darkness before you knew the Lord? The hopelessness. That's darkness. Not understanding what love really was. Being in relationships that just were dead ends because it wasn't love. Quite frankly, in most cases, it was lust. A legal license to do things that are only supposed to be done by married folks. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good here now. How should we escape if we neglect the great song? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also being witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. For He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. We're not under the authority of angels. Angels are there to benefit us and to do the work of the Lord. Amen? But one testifying in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, if you've got a correct vision of what that's saying there, if Christ is the head, as it says in Corinthians, the head of man and the head of the church, and we are his body, then that means, how many know a head doesn't exist without a body, and a body doesn't exist without a head? Only in Halloween stories, okay? But this ain't no Halloween story, man. This is life and that more abundantly. Praise God. So that means that what's under his feet is under our feet. He's given us authority and dominion and power and might through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. That anointing is in you and exudes from you as you share the Word, as you live for the Lord. Amen? And it's not a switch you turn on and off. The gifts of God, the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, operate as the Spirit wills. And you know when they come on the scene? It's when there's a need beyond you and I. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not so you and I can just have all the blessings, but it's so we can go out and we can bless others. Amen? Amen? Father, in Jesus' name I thank you that Karen is healed by the bruises and blood and stripes of Jesus. Amen? She's redeemed, sanctified, set free, justified. Amen? That's the anointing. That's the power that exudes. The knowledge of the truth that comes out of your mouth with confidence. Amen? Hallelujah. Careful now. If I start floating, y'all tell me. That's good. And we'll have a party like Mary Poppins. For in that he put all in subjection under him, that means under you and I. Say it's under me. Amen. But now we do not yet see things put under him. We know it by faith. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For everyone. Say, that means me. Praise the Lord. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things are, and whom, try again. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation through suffering. He should be the captain of our salvation because of what he suffered. You and I deserved it. He didn't. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:13. I'll turn and read it. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot that down. Basically what it says is, we were far off, but now we are near. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought. You didn't stumble into it. You were brought. You were called and chosen. God knew your heart from the foundations of the world. Amen? Near by what? The blood of Christ. It's that shed blood that tore that veil in half. The obedience of Jesus, so that we don't have to go through a high priest anymore. We don't have to sit outside. We can now enter the Holy of Holies boldly and confidently. We need to remember salvation. And you know what? The cool thing is it's not a one-time event. You don't have to look back and just remember what happened. Salvation is new every day. That joy, that exuberance, your first love, the fire of that first love in your bones should be there today as much as yesterday. Amen? The things of life that get us down, the things that happen in our lives as we pursue life, as we walk out our destinies. Things happen. And those things happen, and what they do is they pull us away from the knowledge of what God's really all about. I'm finally beginning to understand what it said, what that little prayer says. God grant me the serenity to change the things that I can, to accept the things that I cannot, and to know the difference between the two. Amen? Hallelujah. So what's left? Joy. Peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 103, 9 through 13. Verse 9 is the key verse. Psalm 103, 9 through 13. We're going to close here in a moment. One more scripture. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Thank God for that. Or to us according to our iniquities. No, excuse me, according to our sins. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed. You understand, it's gone. It's not there anymore. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. I don't care which way you run, you're never going to get the east to meet the west. You hear me? You're never going to get the east to meet the west. There is not a starting and an ending place east to west. You just keep running around in this old big globe and you'll still be going in the same direction. East will never meet west. So far as he removed our transgression from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Verse 14 says, for he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. Now listen to me, folks. First of all, the greatest news in that scripture, in that those verses, is he's removed our transgressions. And in verse 13, the word pity, or pitieth, in the King James, it's pities, in New King James and pitieth in the King James Version. It means to love deeply, to have mercy, to be compassionate, tender affect, or to have compassion. That's what it means when it says he pities his kids. See, we just read that he remembers that we're but dust. Amen? We needed a Savior. And he came. And he delivered us from our transgressions, from ungodliness and our sin. Amen? Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And now, he sees us clean. Clean. You got something going on in your life? You just look at that pool of blood below the cross. And you go and dive into that blood. And you see what can get through that that's not from God. Nothing. Nothing. Say with me, nothing gets through the blood. The blood cleanses me. I'm free. Free indeed. Set free. Hallelujah. Pity doesn't mean, oh, you poor dear. It means that he loves us deeply. He has mercy on us. He's compassionate. He has a tender effect. Amen. Colossians 2:13 and 14. And we'll close. Colossians 2:13 and 14. People, I'm telling you, I mean, I feel the chills going up and down my spine as I'm ministering this today, because it's working right now in me. I'm not the same man that I was a week ago. I'm not the same man that I was in the middle of this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's worthy of all of our praise. Colossians 2:13 and 14. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, ungodliness, bad deeds, ungodly deeds, if you want to use those words, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. Did you hear me? It's taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen? What we strive for is to obey him in everything. Amen? Forgiven you all your trespasses, and wiped out the handwriting of requirements. In the King James it says ordinances. The handwriting of ordinances. How many know if you violate an ordinance in the city and county of Denver or in Lakewood, you're probably going to get a ticket or you may even go to jail. But he's taking care of all that. Amen? Hallelujah. He's taking care of that. So you're free. Free indeed. Now make the decision. I'm not going back into that bondage. I'm not going to let thoughts control me other than God's thoughts. Those are the thoughts I'm going to let control me. Amen. The thoughts and the knowledge that comes from this playbook. You've been redeemed. You have been redeemed. Redeemed. Thank God for His redeeming grace. Redeemed. You've been translated. You've been forgiven. You've been exonerated from those violations of His law that would have, without Jesus, sent you and I to hell. Now, we don't have to worry about Him anymore. Can I tell you something? Only a person who has completely given themselves over or back to darkness. And again, God's the judge of this, not you and I can ever lose what God's done. But you understand you have a free will. And there is a line. God's got a line in each one of our lives. And if we cross it, there's no hope. There's no hope. But thank God, it can't happen as long as we keep our focus on Him, because we're in our right minds. Only a person who's totally lost their mind has even to consider the possibility of that. But you know what? I don't want to tempt Him, and I don't want to test it to find out where that line is. How about you? Amen? I'm free. I'm redeemed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. I'm healthy, happy, healed, prosperous. Amen? It doesn't make any difference about that silly old job that I've been complaining about. It's inconvenient. So what? Does that lessen God? Lessen His power? Lessen who He is in my life? Not a chance. Not a chance. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when you leave here today, you need to remember. You need to remember what God's done. And you also need to get up every morning thanking Him, like the song said. He's more than the song we sing. He's more than our breath. Amen? He's our Creator. We don't love Him because of what He gives us. We love Him because of who He is. Or that's the way it should be. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm excited in the Lord. How about you? Hallelujah. I am excited. And free. What a feeling. What a feeling. Free. Not burdened down with goofy thoughts or expectations of other people. Let me tell you something. God's only expectation of you and I is that we walk with Him. That we never forsake His Word. We never forsake the relationship with Him. Everything else is covered. That's all there is. Love Him as He's loved you. Amen? And give Him the highest praise. You know what that is? I've told you before. The highest praise is giving your life to Him. That's the highest praise you can give Him. Living that life for Him. Amen? So that you can do the works of God to touch other people, to bring them out of the same place that you were and I was in the past. But you know what? That person is dead and gone and buried forever. There's no more life there. There's no more life there. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're not sure you're saved today, all you got to do is say, Jesus. It's not a ritual. It's not a formula. All you do is say, Jesus, I need You desperately. I love You, and I know You're the Son of God. Come into my life. Change me. Change me. Turn my life around. I surrender to You. I believe that You are Lord. And you know what? It's all over. It's done. Well, it's not all over. It's just the beginning. But what's all over is the past. Amen? Buried in the deepest sea, and God has no remembrance. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, I haven't needed an air conditioner because I just chills just running up and down my spine. Thank You, Lord. Remembering what God did. And remembering that it wasn't based on what I did or didn't do. It was based on His love. If you don't believe that, y'all know where to find out. 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear? Stand with me then, please. If you need prayer, don't leave. Don't leave. come and, you know, if you need to just talk to somebody next to you, just let us know. We'll pray. Amen? Praise the Lord. If not, have a blessed day and a blessed week. Don't leave before we have some fellowship, though. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your words can't describe, Lord, for the plan that you devised to redeem your creation for you, Lord. We understand now what it means when you say you've loved with an everlasting love. It was from the foundations of the world when you created us and created the first man all the way to now, Lord. It's never waned. It's never gotten weak. The light's never stopped shining, Lord. It burns as bright today as it ever did, and we thank you for that. Let that knowledge now and your word that's come forth today be sealed in every heart. We thank you for it, Lord. Once again, we thank you for who you are, what you've done. Now, Lord, I pray that your peace, your joy, and your countenance would radiate in and on every person within the sound of my voice in this place today. And whoever hears this word via compute, via the net, or via CD, touch lives. Change them, Lord. Thank you for so great salvation. Now, Lord, bless our time of fellowship. We sanctify the food by your word in this prayer, and we receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Bless your people, Lord. Amen. You are dismissed.